Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. And today I have a break from the news. Hallelujah for all of us. I have a show that's actually going to give you tools to feel better. Okay, if you're out there and you're sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, and like myself, your doctors have run thousands of dollars worth of tests, can't figure out what's wrong with you, you know you're not making up your symptoms, what can you do? Well, today I have Amy Scherr with me. She's the author of How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can. She's not only an author, she's also an energy therapist. You can check out her website. She does sessions with people. It's Amy, the letter B, Scherr, S-C-H-E-R.com. I have a live link right here. So I'm very happy to have Amy with me. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. You know, it's interesting that I saw your post on Facebook about your book at a time where I was going through the exact same scenario. $30,000 worth of tests, seeing specialists, physical therapists, blah, blah, blah. No one could figure out what the problem was. And then your book arrived. And I have to tell you that I love the techniques you have in this book. I tried pretty much all of them out. Even if I was sitting at the gym, I was doing your 12 hearts around your face while I'm sitting on the bike. And I'm sure people thought I was a little nuts, but hey, they think that anyway.
I love it. It sounds like the book came to you at just the right time.
Yes, well, I believe in synchronicity. Now, you yourself have a very interesting story, and I know for a fact, because when I don't feel well, my listeners start writing all kinds of suggestions and sending me all kinds of healing remedies and this and that. And several of them had said, Maria, are you sure it's not Lyme disease? And then I got your book and I started to read your story. I know it's quite the story, but in a nutshell, can you kind of tell our audience what brought you to this?
Sure. So many years ago in 2005, I experienced very severe neurological symptoms, pain and tingling in my legs, started to be unable to use my arms or walk steadily, just sort of a sudden decline in my body, I would say, but really I was in horrific pain. And much like you were just describing, I went to doctors, they ran tests, I tried medicine, I mean, really everything, and nobody could figure out what it was. It was diagnosed as neuropathy and then diagnosed as an autoimmune disease and several different things. And in 2007, I was actually diagnosed with Lyme disease. And that's a relatively quick diagnosis, 2 years of going through doctors and tests to get a Lyme disease diagnosis, because Lyme disease symptoms can manifest as things that mimic many other diseases like multiple sclerosis, autoimmune diseases, arthritis, lots of different things. And so by 2007, I was in really, really bad shape, and I got a Lyme disease diagnosis by actually sending my blood to a specialty lab that diagnoses tick-borne diseases. So many of the regular sort of blood labs don't have sensitive enough testing to pick up on Lyme disease. And so for me, this was the key in getting a diagnosis. And so when I got my diagnosis, I thought, yay, I have Lyme disease. Now I can fix it and move on with my life. But it didn't work out exactly like that. By this time, I had brain lesions and full-blown arthritis and problems with the lining of my heart because the disease had penetrated so deeply into my body. And so I went on some very heavy-duty Lyme disease treatment, which included intramuscular antibiotic shots and lots of supplements and things to try to fix my organs that were now a problem and those type of things. And it was not as successful as I wanted it to be in order to regain sort of my full life. And so I then went on this crazy journey. Can I keep going? Am I doing okay?
Oh, you're doing great. Keep going.
Okay, perfect. I went on this crazy journey where I actually went to do an experimental treatment in India to help repair the damage that was done to my body from the Lyme disease. So Lyme disease is basically comes from a bacteria and an infection. And so I was on antibiotics, like I mentioned, for a long time and a lot of them. But at some point, I felt like the infection wasn't so much the problem, but the damage the infection had done to my body. And so I sort of, in a serendipitous way, found out about this stem cell treatment in India to help repair my body from the damage that the Lyme disease did. Because at that point, I had been on so many antibiotics that I felt like whatever the antibiotics were going to do, they had to have already done in this quantity and this period of time. And so I went to India, and it helped me huge. It really, really helped to regenerate my nerves. It really helped to boost my immune system. It helped my organs. I mean, it helped in huge ways. When I left India almost 9 weeks after I got there, I was significantly better. And then I came home and I thought, great, now I can move on with my life. And what happened to me was I started to have symptoms again about a year later. And it was only at that point where I really started to look at what else could be happening, what else could possibly be contributing. I mean, I was the only common denominator in these various symptoms showing up at various times in my life. And so I really looked at that, and that's when I started to look deeply at the mind-body-spirit connection and how our emotions and the way we live our lives and the beliefs we have about ourselves and the attitudes and perceptions we have, how that affects our physical body. And that was sort of my jackpot tunnel into lasting health, permanent and complete healing. And that's where I am today. It was a journey of developing and learning some techniques that already existed to access healing by accessing the energy body. So the energy in our system, our energy bodies, are the energy that runs through our bodies, as opposed to just the physical things that doctors typically look at. And that was sort of an opening into a new world for me, which brought me to where I am today, which is, well, finally.
Right. Isn't that nice? Isn't it great to actually feel well?
It is. And the interesting part was that the things that got me to feeling well were me. This part of my journey using energy healing and looking at my beliefs and perceptions and attitudes and emotions that I was holding on to, I did that all by myself for not free, but very close to free. And so the irony of all that after I went through these crazy medical treatments was that I was sort of the key to my own health. And that's not to say that we ignore the physical or we don't get support for the physical, but it's also important to look at the other aspect that could help boost our physical bodies.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things I really appreciated that you put in your book was that sometimes it's okay to take medicine until you're feeling better. Because I don't
Absolutely.
Take prescription drugs, and when my doctor, you know, prescribed stuff for me, I was all paranoid to take it. And then I read that and I said, okay, I'll take it for a couple of days. If it doesn't work, I'm dumping this.
So, just giving
yourself permission to try everything. You know, my teacher Sunbear used to say, when you don't feel well, try everybody, even a witch doctor. He said, sooner or later, somebody's going to get lucky.
Yes, yes. And I think it's really important to talk about this a little bit, that Western or traditional or conventional, however you want to say it, medicine is important. It's just very important not to rely on it completely, to make sure, I call it meeting your medicine halfway, that you meet your medicine halfway, that you do your part to change whatever's going on inside that might be contributing to the situation so that your medicine or your therapy or whatever it is can work to its fullest extent. Because you can be on the best medicine in the world, and if you have some of these healing blocks, I've seen it where the medicine just can't do for you what you could do for yourself. And I've seen, you know, many people who have done the emotional and energetic work that I talk about in my book, and then suddenly, what do you know, their chiropractic adjustments hold, or the medicine that hasn't been working actually works. And these are the things that you see happen. So while I think, you know, Bernie Siegel, who's an incredible author in the field of mind-body-spirit medicine, teaches that medicine or surgery or whatever it is buys you time to do the work that you need to do to heal yourself. And I truly resonate with and believe in that philosophy as well.
Right. Well, you know, I interviewed Bernie years ago, and it was a great interview. And for my new listeners, that's still in the archives. Just put Bernie Siegel's name in here, and you'll be able to re-listen to it. I think that today, Amy, because we live in a planet with so much stress and so much fear, I mean, how do people, how can you protect yourself from the fear and the stress out there, even when you don't think it's affecting you?
So one of the things that I teach in my book is a technique called Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT. Many people have heard of tapping. And I sort of teach it a slightly different way. So even if you've tried it and you think, oh, that's not for me, I suggest you give it another go, the Amy way. But basically, one of the things that I do is I use this technique pretty much every day, even if I don't think I'm stressed, for at least a few minutes to release whatever my body might be holding on to. And, you know, in this, especially with what's been happening with the election and the longest election season of our lives, right?
Right.
There's so much stress and fear and tension in sort of our energy fields. And I think that the bottom line is to use the techniques in the book and do work to know that you can be okay no matter what. And that's what I've really learned, is that even if somebody doesn't like you, or even if you don't like the leader, you know, the leader of our country, or even if, you know, you're afraid of that you're not going to be perfect and you're going to be judged, and even if all these things, to learn at your core by releasing fear that you can be okay no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that is what I found is the secret to being able to live peacefully through anything, is that you strengthen your core by releasing fear, by releasing old emotions, beliefs, everything I teach in my book. You strengthen yourself at the core so that what is happening around you doesn't shake you. And that's what I really felt is the way to feel and be most protective in a world that sometimes can feel harsh is to be centered in yourself so that those things don't throw you off in the way that they might do now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very well said. You know, I'm hearing from a lot of people. I could tell you after this election, I felt like my phone was a suicide hotline. I've been hearing from people and even seeing posts on social media. A lot of spiritual people are feeling ungrounded, like they're not here. It's almost like they're leaving their bodies without being here. And I have to tell you that I've been recommending your technique on how to ground for people that don't live outside nature, where you can't, you know, get barefoot and stand in the dirt and connect to the energy of the planet. But I found it very interesting the way that you describe it in your book is that, you know, we wear shoes all the time. We're walking on concrete all the time, and we're disconnected from the energy of the planet, which, of course, balances us. I forget exactly how you said it, but it was
excellent. No, that's true. It neutralizes. Yep, it helps us let go. It helps us neutralize our energy. It balances hormones. The energy of the earth is incredible, and most of us can find, you know, a piece of earth somewhere to stand on or lie down on. And even, I think I mentioned in my book, but even concrete, if you can't find grass or dirt or sand, you can use concrete as long as it's porous, as long as it's not sealed with like some kind of lacquer. And that can be grounding. I know it's not the season, except for here in California where it's still 80 degrees, but pools are very grounding because they're in the ground. And as long as they're porous on the bottom, very grounding. And then, of course, there's the spoon, the stainless steel spoon technique. But that's what that's in the book. But that's one of the things that I do when you don't know what to do. Just go touch the ground. Just go touch the ground, because it's so healing, and it helps you drain some of that anxiety and fearful energy out. And for those of you who are very conscious of the planet, I get this question every time I talk about grounding. You will not hurt the earth if your fearful, anxious energy goes in. The earth and the universe know how to recycle that energy for a higher good. So don't worry about hurting the grass or the trees or anything that you touch when you're feeling that way.
Right. Well, you know, for me, it was a good reminder. You know, I'm a teacher of the medicine wheel, so I have two huge medicine wheels on my property. And as part of the syndrome I was going through, I had a lot of involuntary motion happening in my foot and my arm. And I'm like, what the hell is this? It's moving by itself. And then I was reading your book. And, you know, it's already cold here. I live in the mountains of Arizona, but I did clear a spot in my medicine wheel so I wouldn't have to step on pebbles to ground myself. But then it got a little too cold, and I said, okay, I'm going to try this stainless steel spoon
Good.
That you have in there. Because let's face it, it sounds a little crazy. And I said, I'm going to have to ask a stainless steel spoon. But that's okay. All my cutlery is stainless steel. And I did the exercise usually before I went to bed and when I woke up in the morning. Now, Amy, I will tell you, in 2 days, that tingling and that involuntary movement stopped.
Good. And, you know, another trick that you can do that I didn't put in the book, so this will be an extra special trick that all of your listeners will know about, is I sometimes bring rocks in from outside and just put them, you know, under my desk and then put my feet on them. Rocks have really, really spectacular healing energy. So if you can find any rocks and just bring them inside and make a little pile where it's nice and warm and put your feet on them there, that's very helpful too. And that's kind of a fun project as well.
Absolutely. I have rocks all around my house. Actually, I have quite
perfect.
A few on and under my desk while I'm speaking to you.
Perfect.
You know, I have a lot of clients that come to me because they have writer's block or they have, you know, some kind of block in their creativity. But I don't think that people think about having energy blocks that actually make them sick. So how would they find those and how would they get rid of them?
Sure. So the interesting thing is that we all have an energy system. So while we seem physical, it's really all everything's energy. And when we get blockages in the energy system, it creates physical symptoms. So for example, let's say that, there's all these different pathways, energy pathways going through the body. One of the energy pathways, which goes through the stomach, comes all the way up the front of the legs, through the stomach, up through your breath, up the sides of your neck, and around your eyes. So stomach energy or stomach meridian, which is the pathway, is linked to worry. When we worry, especially constantly, which many of us do, you can get blockages in that energy pathway. Now, I just shared with you where the energy pathway runs. If you have a block in any of that path, it's going to prevent a healthy flow of energy from basically going to the organs, muscles, and glands that are in the pathway of the stomach meridian. So that could be your stomach, that could be your breast, that could be the sides of your neck, that could be sinuses are very linked to worry or stomach energy. So what happens is there's a blockage in any of the meridian, it will prevent the energy flow from getting to various parts of that meridian, which feeds different parts of your physical body, your organs, muscles, glands, and tissues. And that's why you feel symptoms in certain areas. So in my book, there's an entire section on different parts of the body and what symptoms might go along with those parts of the body based on what type of energy is flowing through them and what type of blocks you might have that's preventing the energy from getting there in its entirety. And so that's a really, really good place to start. If you say, you know, let's just, since we use stomach as an example, if you have stomach issues, digestive challenges, you could go to the book, it's in chapter 6, and you could look up where, you know, which part of the body's stomach, or maybe it's even in a, you know, part of your digestive system somewhere else, colon, it's all broken up. And what do those parts of the body stand for? And what might be the blocks associated? So that's always a really, really good way just to have a starting point. And then as you read and learn more, now you already know stomach is linked to worry. So all of you out there that get stomach aches and acid reflux and all of these things are probably going, okay, that could be me. And so one of the ways that I encourage people to start is just by reading what your body might be telling you about the blocks that are causing the symptoms. And from there, using the techniques in the book to do that. I also teach in the book a technique called muscle testing, which is using the body's muscles to help you figure out where the blocks are and what they're from, and that's in the book as well. And so there's a lot of different ways, but just starting somewhere and asking yourself some of the questions in the book. What does this, what is my body trying to tell me? What does this location in my body mean? Those are things that are really helpful in getting you answers so that you can start clearing those.
Right. And I have to tell you, you know, as a Reiki master, I find this book is a very good complement. So for all my Reiki students out there, make sure you get this book because it's going to give you a few more little tips that you can use your Reiki for. And I really like that, by the way, that section in chapter 6, Amy. It kind of reminded me of years ago when Louise Hay put out her first book. I think it was You Can Heal Your Body or something.
Yes, You Can Heal Your Life. Amazing book. And her book is based on affirmations as healing. And while that's not one of my techniques, her book is really amazing for getting more information about what each part of the body can mean or might be saying. And everybody sort of has their different take. Some of the things I resonate with that Louise, you know, writes about, and some I sort of have my own take. And this is the awesome thing is that people can read about this, my book, Louise's book, and then you start to get your own interpretations of what your body's saying. So, you know, upset stomach doesn't necessarily mean the same for everybody. So I've tried to give several examples for each body part as to what it might mean so that the reader can say, oh, you know what, that feels more true for me, or that's more true of my personality, and really, you know, kind of decide for themselves what fits for their body.
Right, absolutely. You know, you take a little from here, a little from there, and a little from wherever it comes, as long as it works for you. You know, I was also kind of happily surprised to see you talk in your book about past life energies, clearing inherited energies that might be working against you. And I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Stewart, but I interviewed Gary a few months ago on the show, and that's basically what he does, clearing any kind of ancestral problems going on in your body. So your techniques can be used for the same thing.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting because in my own healing journey, I didn't do not a ton of clearing past life energy. Past life energy and ancestral energy, sort of stuff that comes from your family. I didn't do a ton of it, but I have seen for certain people, it sort of adds up to more than for others. It's important though, because it's important mostly when something that happened in a past life or something that happened in your family lineage is something you resonate with now. So, for example, one of the things for me was that I was very fearful about many things, about being judged, about getting hurt, about somebody in my family dying. I mean, just like fearful about everything, sort of. So for me, my family, my inherited energy or ancestral energy was very relevant for what I was feeling because I come from a family of Holocaust survivors who obviously felt great fear of judgment, great fear for their lives. And so for me, I felt like that family energy was still vibrating in my body, was tapping into what I was feeling. It obviously could have been causing some of what I was feeling, but it was like I was getting a double whammy because I had my own stuff plus stuff of the past. So I have found Sometimes with clients, we clear, you know, past life energy or ancestral energy, and it makes a huge difference. And then I see for some people, it doesn't make as much of a difference. So I think while you shouldn't get contracted from clearing your own stuff from this life, it's really important to look at, because we don't know how much of other people's stuff we're carrying around. And we have enough of our own. We don't need to be, you know, carrying that of our relatives as well.
I totally agree with you. But, you know, when I was working with Gary on this specific out-of-the-blue symptoms I was having with my neck, it was very much connected to my grandmother in this lifetime.
Interesting.
Think about, you know, and I think we all need to just stop and breathe once in a while and learn how to relax. You have in your book, Choose to Relax. And in this crazy world where everybody's so busy working and running and going so fast, I think we've forgotten how to relax.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of us, it's impossible to relax because we have these fears. We have these beliefs that if we relax, something bad will happen, or we won't be on top of everything, or what will people think of us? And so there's, you know, a whole chapter on clearing, on calming the triple warmer meridian in the body, which is the fight, flight, or freeze mechanism in the body. So when I talk about, when in the fear chapter, when I talk about fear, and it's not just afraid of heights or afraid of, it's things like afraid of relaxing, afraid of what will happen if we're not, you know, on high alert all the time. And the techniques, some of them only take 30 seconds or a minute, but those techniques in the fear chapter, if practiced regularly, will retrain your body into relaxing. And when you're relaxed on a consistent basis, that's when your body has the most healing potential. And so it's very important to change that pattern of being constantly stressed.
Absolutely. And you give so many good ways of doing it, either through chanting, through yoga, getting some body work, positive affirmations. I mean, the list goes on and on. But I think because so many people have been brainwashed into believing that they have to do for other people first and forget about taking care of themselves, you know, my thought on that process is you take care of yourself first, because you're not going to be of any use to anybody else if you're not. And then what you have left over, absolutely give it to other people. But we kind of live backwards. And I think that's why so many people feel guilty when they're just sitting down reading a book or just relaxing.
Absolutely.
Now, one other thing that you mentioned, I mean, I got to tell you, your book couldn't have been more timely. I was like making notes, laughing to myself, making notes in the columns of your book. I had gone to this new chiropractor, and he said, you know, what's going on? And I said, well, I used to get migraines. And he said almost word for word what you say in your book, don't own your disease. He looked at me and he says, well, I want to compliment you because you didn't say, I keep having migraines. You didn't own it. So I was like, wow,
right.
this guy impressed me right away, I said. Because,
yeah, I bet.
So, you know, a lot of people out there do own their disease. You know, oh, I deserve this, or I'm going to be sick for the rest of my life. And then you have people that just use it, as Napoleon Hill would say, as an alibi, not to do or not to be involved or proactive.
Right. And one of the really easy things we can share with the listeners from the book is that a simple thing of just not calling the disease or the condition my, like my migraines, my cancer, my, just to say the, or experience of the cancer, or I'm experiencing this, or, you know, that kind of thing. Because when you call it my, you are owning something that you're trying to get rid of.
Right.
And that doesn't send a clear message to the cells. Well, is it mine or is it not mine? And I'm trying to let it go. Like, what is this? There's just a very conflicting energy when you're calling something mine and talking about something as mine all the time. And then everything you're doing is to try to make it not yours. So that's a very simple thing that can really shift the energy around a condition. It's just stop claiming it as yours if you don't want it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, the language that we use in thought, or, you know, adding sound to it when we say it out loud, people don't realize your body hears it and your body will manifest it.
Yes, absolutely. ourselves are listening all of the time, so be careful what you say.
Right. I always say be careful what you ask for, because you probably get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm constantly correcting my friends, which probably is very annoying to them, when I hear negatives come out of their mouth, you know. And we went to, I'll give you a funny little example. I have one friend who's been in and out of the hospital almost as long as I know him. And he was having an up day, and he was feeling pretty good for a while. And we all went over to Costco. And the first thing he did while we were going for shopping carts was he got in one of those drive little shopping carts, you know, for
people who
have problems. And both myself and my other friend who was with me, we just screamed at him, "What are you trying to manifest now?"
You know? Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes we have to really be aware of what we're doing, because a lot of times, you know, when I do have a session with somebody, the first thing I'll look at is whether or not their disease is karmic. Is it something they wanted to experience? Is it something that belongs to them? And 9 times out of 10, it isn't. You have to kind of walk people around to, you know, get honest with yourself. Why are you holding on to something that's not even yours? Because for some people,
right,
that's, like I said earlier, that's an alibi. For me, if I'm not feeling 100%, I want to kill people, okay? I'm like, oh my God, when am I going to feel 100%? So I try everything. And I think that's what people need to consider. Amy, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I'm going to talk to you about one of my favorite techniques in your book. It worked for me in a second. I couldn't believe it. I just started giggling. So stay with us. Amy Scherer and I will be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience, and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. We're having a delightful healing conversation with Amy Scherer, her book, How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can, a total self-healing approach for mind, body, and spirit. And by the way, her book on the front cover is endorsed, if you want to call it endorsed, by Bernie Siegel, who's one of the best doctors that's ever been on the planet, in my opinion. Amy, before the break, I talked to you. I said, I had one of your things that was so fun, so easy, worked immediately. I was giggling to myself. And that's how simply, and by the way, I want my listeners to know, everything in this book is simply explained, okay? It's not going to be like, you know, quantum physics. It's simply explained, which is what I always have believed. True spirituality, truth is simple. Simply explain, you can try it, it's going to work, you're going to just giggle, you're going to say, this is crazy, let me try it. I loved the muscle testing, using your body as a pendulum. I almost fell over the first time I tried it. I said, wow, this is really cool.
Isn't it fun?
That was very fun because, you know, my girlfriend here, she's a chiropractor. And she's also a friend of mine, and she's one of my Reiki students. I selfishly give all my body workers Reiki, so I get that when they're treating me. She does kinesiology. So if I say, you know, oh, is this vitamin something I should take? She'll do muscle testing using kinesiology. So you always have to go to somebody else. But when I looked and tried your muscle testing as a body pendulum, I said, wow, I could do this for myself now. I don't have to bother anybody. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. It's such a cool thing. My healing path really opened up when I learned how to use muscle testing for myself, because I was able to get so many answers that helped me keep going when I was stuck. And that's when I think a lot of people give up on doing work on themselves. That we think, oh, we need somebody else to tell us what to do next. But the muscle testing chapter in this book, which is called Getting Answers from the Subconscious Mind, really help yourself so that you never have to feel stuck and not know where to go next.
Right. So let me ask you this. Did you learn this from someone else, or did you get this information, as Native Americans would call it, from within?
I actually learned muscle testing from somebody else. Yes, I did learn it from somebody else. It took me a while to get it, to be able to use it for it to work for me. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, I thought I couldn't muscle test. And what I realize now is that I was too worried about it. My brain was too involved. And I could muscle test. I just needed to let go. And so it took me quite a while to start using it. But when I started using it, it opened up a whole new world of possibilities for me. And so I try in the book to explain it very simply, to help people relax, to let go, to trust the answers, and also the things like grounding and tracing around your eyes, the very simple techniques I teach at the beginning of the book help the body to be balanced and grounded enough in order to easily muscle test. So, yeah, this wasn't something I figured out on my own, but when I did, I kind of tweaked it to work for me and to work for, you know, most of the muscle testing you learn about is to test supplements and such. And so I really sort of came up with my own system in order to find energetic emotional blocks and figure out the right questions to ask, because that was kind of a different story than how I saw it used.
Right. All right. I got to ask you that one question, because I was curious from the minute I saw it in your book, even though I've done it. Why a stainless steel spoon? Is there a difference between that and any other kind of spoon?
There's a mineral in it that actually helps activate and clear the energy on the bottom of your feet. So the bottom of your feet actually have their own chakras, and the mineral in the stainless steel helps to break up the congested energy. So that's what it is.
I just wondered. I was like, okay, my granddaughter visited this weekend, and I said, all right, if she just goes into my bedroom, she's going to see I have a spoon by my bed. I wonder what she's going to think I'm doing with this.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Is grandma eating ice cream in bed? Is she sneaking food upstairs?
Exactly. You have to teach it to her.
But, you know, I'm very blessed. Believe me, my children and my grandchildren are very wide awake. One of the other things you mentioned, which I think is important for anybody out there suffering some one of these diseases that's, you know, a mystery, and, you know, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, you know, arthritis, whatever, is you say you don't have to fix it all.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always reminded people too, Amy, I'm sure you do. It took years for them to get sick. It's not going to get better overnight. You know, you got to give things time. But I think because our society is all, let me go to a doctor and get a pill to fix this. Oh, the pill didn't work in an hour. You know, there are no fast answers sometimes. And I think it's quite a journey going through these techniques to really understanding yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, to the point you're talking about where you don't have to fix it all, I write that. I think it's the only thing in my book in all caps that my editor let me put in all caps, because it's so important that that we know. I mean, still to this day, I have things come up here and there that I didn't resolve during my big healing journey where I was trying to resolve everything. And I'm well, I'm healthy. It's been years now. I haven't had any relapses. I'm doing great. And so you don't have to fix it all. You just have to make a dent in a big pile of stuff that you've probably been holding on to. And you're right. Things don't go away overnight. It takes the body a long time to manifest an illness. A lot of people say, I was fine, and then I woke up, and I had, you know, it started with the migraines. It's like those have been brewing in your system for a long time. You don't just, you might just wake up with it, but it didn't happen overnight. And so it's important to remember, and this is something the spiritual, you know, author Carolyn Mace talks about, is that illness comes as inspiration to change something inside of us or in our lives. And so you have to go through the process so that you fulfill whatever that illness came to help you do. And that can't happen overnight. And so it really is a process. And it doesn't have to be a forever process, though. I've had a couple of clients where I have to remind them, you don't need to be sick to do this work. They, you know, people get really into using these techniques and figuring everything out. And I always say, you don't have to be sick to do this. And don't hang on to it because you love the, you know, spiritual exploration of it. We can evolve even when we're healthy, and especially when we're healthy. But for a period of time, illness is often there to inspire changes inside of ourselves and sometimes in our environment that we would never make without that illness. And so that's what it is. But that doesn't mean we need to keep it forever.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes self-talk helps. You know, just talk to yes. me and say, you know, it's been nice. You took a little visit through my body. Now get the hell out of here and go somewhere else.
Exactly.
I don't usually talk with loving words. I'm only kidding. But when I'm not feeling well, forget it. You don't want to be around me. And yet I still do everything I have to do because I don't want to give in to the pain or the fear.
Yes.
And I think that's important. If it takes you down and you let it keep you down, then it wins. And I'm not one of those people that likes to lose. Your book talks about trauma and anxiety. Is there a difference between the two?
Is there a difference? I think that, you know, my next book is going to be on anxiety because it's such a topic everybody relates to. I think anxiety is the feeling that comes from not feeling our feelings. So I don't believe that anxiety is necessarily a thing on its own. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is the feeling that we have when there's something under it. Grief or anger or whatever trying to come up. It's that uncertain, unsettled feeling that something bad is happening. And something bad is happening when we're not acknowledging and releasing our feelings. And that's what I think the feeling is. Now, that can come from trauma. That feeling of something's wrong and I don't know what it is can absolutely come from trauma. But I think that there are two different things. I think anxiety is the product of trauma. And when we talk about trauma, I explain this in my book, it's not always a big thing like abuse or neglect or, you know, a car accident or a major life event. A lot of times what traumatizes us is something really hurtful somebody said to us when we were, you know, in second grade on the playground or, you know, just something that we might think is minor. I've seen, you know, working with clients that it can be something that they laugh at me when I suggest could be one of the core, you know, underlining causes of a physical issue. And I say, come on, just humor me. Let's work through it. Let's clear it. And we do. And it makes the biggest difference. So it's not always huge things. And the book really helps you. And muscle testing can help you find the things that you might have been overlooking because they didn't seem traumatic enough to cause a problem in your life, but they are.
Right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. Not really. I'm sure you do this day and night. You have that one, what could we call it, ritual or treatment, the eye trace in your book.
Yeah.
Okay. So as I was reading the book, I was trying to read the book and do it at the same time. So I had to glance back at the book a few times. This is such an easy one to ground yourself and balance. I would think this is great for balancing. If I'm wrong, please correct me. It's so simple. Can you just right now walk my listeners through that?
Sure. So this one is really good for grounding, balancing, as you said. And also this one's good for the line that we're going to be tracing on our face or the shape. It affects also the kidney energy, and kidneys in your body are linked to fear. So this is a good exercise to do if you're feeling fearful or frustrated or anything like that. So what you're going to do is take two or three fingers of one hand and place them in between your eyebrows. And we're going to be tracing sort of a sideways figure eight or infinity sign around the eyes. So with light to medium pressure, take the fingertips and trace up around your eyebrow, around your eye, along your cheekbone, up, and then cross the bridge of your nose over the other eyebrow, around the eye, along the cheekbone, up over the bridge of your nose again, and let's trace a few more times around your eye, up over the bridge of your nose. This one's actually really great for headaches, computer headaches too. Go ahead and around, up over the bridge of your nose. And you can trace that anywhere from, 15, 30 seconds to a couple of minutes. This is a really easy one to do a few times a day that will just help you think better, help you be more grounded, release fear. Just an overall great balancing exercise. And this one also helps the energies in your body to cross over. So normally when our energies are crossing over in a crossover pattern in our body, we're functioning at our optimal, optimal sort of level. When our bodies lose this crossover pattern and start to go parallel, which happens during stress, we don't have the healing ability and the thinking ability that we want to have. So this helps to sort of instigate or retrain the body, the energies, to be in a crossover pattern. And it's so easy to do.
I know, and I love it. I was doing it while you were talking. And, the other thing is, when I was doing that, and you have the other one, the triple heart one, I realized just how little we touch our own faces. And how loving that feels to be able to do just that simple little sign of infinity and connect your hands to your face in a loving
Absolutely.
Way. I mean, everybody likes human touch, but I think we've forgotten that it's A-okay to touch ourselves too. I was doing that
Absolutely.
One. I was doing that one at the gym too on the bike. And I really didn't care who liked it or not. And then I did the thymus tap, which I thought was so easy because I have a lot of friends and I had some students who did EFT, but I found it just too long, drawn out, and confusing sometimes. And here you have tapping down to a science in this book, and it's so easy. So I want to thank you.
Good. Of course. My pleasure. I'm one of those people that if it gets too complicated or I can get overwhelmed. So when I wrote this book, I made sure to write it as I would want it to be written if I was a reader. And that's as simple and straightforward and, concise as it gets.
Listen, now you're the kind of person whose book I'm going to recommend forever. Because I teach very simply. I got so tired of people submitting Reiki books to me. To get on my show, and they're 300, 400, 500 pages. And I was like, what am I filling these pages with? Everything you need to know about Reiki is like, I actually wrote a book on Reiki in 22 pages, everything you needed to know.
Wow, perfect. Because the last thing when you don't feel good is that you want to start. It's so hard to think through anything when you don't feel good. So simplicity is the key to actually taking the action to use it.
Absolutely. And you did put another truth in this book that I think a lot of times people don't pay attention to is whatever you focus on, whatever you focus your energy on is going to grow. So if you spend all day just focused on your illness, well, guess what? Your illness is going to be all day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to make sure you keep one foot planted in the life that you want and not just the life that you have at this current moment.
Right. Now, I know you have another technique in your book called graceful begging. I thought that was very clever. Okay.
Yes.
And basically, the power of I am. I don't know if you're familiar with Michael Rakir's work at josephspeaks.com, but his spiritual work is great. And he has something that he calls God Is. So what I do is I put together I am God Is. And I just keep saying it, God is, I am. Or you can say it the other way. I am God Is.
I love that.
And I think there's so much power in those words. It kind of amazes me that most people still give their power away without realizing that they've really got the capacity to create their own life on every level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes people just aren't aware. And so it takes reading something or hearing something like your show to kind of make you think, wait, there's more to this than I think. And that starts the journey. So it's great.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, look, we're never alone. And I also liked in your book, where you talk about, you know, when I see writers that actually write things that I've always known but never seen anywhere else before, I kind of say, oh, so was my knowing wrong? Is no one else catching on to this? Am I hallucinating? But when you talk about and teach how you can talk to other people's higher selves to clear
yes.
issues, I was like, okay, I love this girl now.
Oh, thank you. Because so many of us get stuck with, but I just need them to understand my point. I just need them to apologize. I just need them to whatever. And this technique of talking to someone else's higher self is a way that you can express what you need without actually needing that person to be involved in your own healing. Because that's definitely a dangerous requirement if you need someone else.
Oh, yeah. And
it's also to help you in that way.
And it's a great way to let go of stuff. You know, it's a very similar to Gestalt therapy, you know, where you
yes.
can solve issues with the other person without that person necessarily being there, where you're going to end up getting into a swing out or a brawl.
Exactly, because most of the people we want to go to help us feel better are the people we feel hurt by in the first place. I can't tell you how many clients want to, involve their ex spouse or ex, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend in their healing process. And I always have to say, but you didn't get what you needed from them in the first place. Why are you turning to them now to help for them to make you feel better? If it's never happened before, I don't think it's, you know, like we need to find another way to heal from this without expecting them to be the healing piece.
Well, but you know, there's a lot of programs out there that instruct their people to do just that, whether it's Landmark,
yeah.
Whether it was EST, whether it's, you know, a lot of recovery groups, you know, everything is, you know, you have to go to the person you affronted and, you know, apologize or try to get some answers. I don't agree with any of that. Because,
yeah.
Listen, we live in a world where everybody wants to be right, and they'd rather be right than be loved.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, the key to your book, the title, Heal Yourself. Okay. Heal yourself. You don't have to involve other people to do that. Amy, we only have a few minutes left. How do you work with people? If somebody wanted to work with you, do you do it over the phone? Do you do it in person? Do you use Skype? What do you do? How do people get in touch?
I work over the phone. I found that that's the best way. Then nobody has to worry what they look like when they're crying or if they're in their pajamas. So I work over the phone one by one or one-on-one. I also have an online healing program and course where I work very closely with my students in an online group and through the modules to teach them how to do this for themselves. So this would be, it's a companion course to the book. So it's like the book in action. We go through everything together. We do healing sessions together. They're guided. All you have to do is show up to your computer, hit play, and go at your own pace. And so that's for somebody who wants a little more Amy interaction.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're all over social media, so people can, you know, go there. I actually signed up for your newsletter on your site this morning, right before
Excellent.
The show. But I really do recommend that people start taking more control over their healing instead of giving that power to doctors. Because if you don't really know what's going on inside your body, the doctor's just guessing because you have no way to actually explain what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And this can feel overwhelming, but just remember that there are people like me here to help you. There are, you know, when you make that decision to help yourself, your inner spirit sort of kicks up and is ready to meet you there. And you can just do one baby step at a time. It doesn't need to be a huge, scary thing.
Absolutely. Or like you said, you don't have to fix it all. Time.
Absolutely.
Time
so true.
Right. Time can't heal all wounds. Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for joining me today and sending me your book, because I had a lot of fun with it, and it's a keeper. It's one I'll be referring to whenever I feel the need to swing like a pendulum.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me here today.
My pleasure. You take good care now. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Amy Scher, her book, again, I'm so buried with notes, How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can. And man, I was there, okay? I've been there, and I'm still at the tail end of it, but I'm releasing this. Amy Scher, you can get over to her website, Amy B for boy, Scher, SCHER.com. And remember, this is another way we give away our power, by expecting someone else to do all the work. Well, somebody else isn't going to do all the work. And if you're not in tune with your body, it's going to be a long road ahead getting a doctor to figure out what's going on with you. Anyway, thanks again for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. And I know Amy did. And I'll see you guys tomorrow when I'm back with the dastardly news, or as I call it, news of Planet of the Apes. And I've already got tons of it for you. So thanks for supporting the show. I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.